Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody together said, amen. Absolutely. Amen. It's always good to see you, brethren. We're happy that that's the case, that we can, and we have that opportunity to be together. Anecdotes. Those are short, little, catchy stories. That's my understanding. That we preachers and others, any kind of really public speakers, I guess, like to either insert to make a point to be illustrated better, or to maybe pep up a message, or at least point out some particular point. A word comes from the Greek and literally means things that are not given out. In other words, these are things that are not really published, and someone hadn't heard it. And a lot of times they get in the, I'll say, sort of the rumor mills and so on and so forth. But I'm going to share a little anecdote with you as I begin, as we talk about, if you'll turn in your Bible to John chapter 14, we're going to talk about Jesus the Christ. That's my emphasis, but I'm just reminding us that it's not Jesus Christ, like somehow or another that's his last name. You can look up, you know, Christ in the phone book, and it'll be Jesus by it. Jesus is the Christ. And that's my emphasis to you today. And I'm going back, I have to go back to my days, Jackie, because, you know, I'm old and feeble. But my mind remembers those things back there fairly well. And during the 1957 World Series, between what was then the Milwaukee Braves, you know them as the Atlanta Braves, and if you're a real fan of baseball, I think they started out in Boston in the real early days. But here they were, the Milwaukee Braves facing the mighty Yankees, who in the 50s, I think, played in 8 out of the 10 decade years in the 50s in the World Series, winning about... The only one I remember them losing was the Dodgers, and to this one. But nonetheless, here in the World Series, slugger Hank Aaron, oh, he was quite a swinging guy. I'm telling you, he could swing the bat. And he came up to bat, Hank Aaron did. Two runners were on, by the way. Yogi Berra, I don't know how many of you know him, but if you don't know him, you're probably going around quoting some of the things that he said in his lifetime. He was a very humorous fellow. He always said some really humorous things. But when Hank came up to the plate, Yogi noticed that he was holding the bat wrong. I'll put it that way. So he says to Hank, the slugger, "Turn it around, Hank, so you can read the trademark." I don't know if you played any baseball or softball or anything. Everybody always teaches you, if you got a wooden bat, I know it doesn't apply maybe to the aluminum ones, but you know, if you got it, you want to be able to read the trademark, because that's so you're less likely to break the bat, and you'll have the swing of the grain and everything in it. Everybody taught that kind of thing. So Yogi's telling the slugger, Hank, read the trade, get it up there so you can read that trademark. That's the usual wisdom on how to hold a bat. Well, the story is told that Hank never looked back. He just got his feet in the batter's box and scratched the dirt a little around. He got settled, never turned around and looked at Yogi at all, but he said, according to the umpire, who's the fellow who really quoted this story, he said to Yogi, "I didn't come up here to read. I came up here to hit." And hit he did. On an 0-2 count, he hit that pitch over the center field wall for a three-run home run, and Milwaukee went on to win that series. I know that's not a spiritual story, but it makes a really good point. How many coaches say, keep your eye on the what? On the ball. Hank wasn't forgetting that. I know a coach in our crowd that's all over this Henderson town. They'll know him for that. That's what he hollered out. Keep your eye on the ball. I've had plenty of them holler that at me. You got to remember what really is most important in life. And that's where we come in today. History tells us that there were more than 30,000 Jews crucified outside the walls of Jerusalem by the Romans. Do you know the name of any of them other than the one we're talking about? You don't, do you? Neither does anybody else. And yet the story of Jesus is known by almost everybody. His name is on everybody's lips. You know, we sing songs like, Jesus is all the world to me. Just think of all of the things that we have gone through in our Christian life, singing about this name of Jesus. Jesus is without a doubt the most important man in all of history. The New Testament abounds with these wonderful figures of speech that describe him. I'm thinking right now about in the book of John chapter 6, where he says he is the bread of life. That is the source of our spiritual nourishment. And in John 8 and verse 12, we're told that he is the light of the world, the light that came and shined in the darkness. That was Jesus. That's why we remember him. In John 10 and verse 9, we're told he is the door, the way to salvation. And then, of course, that next verse, verse 10 of John 10, is he is the good shepherd, the one who protects us, takes care of us. I remember in the story over in Matthew chapter 22 where the Pharisees have asked Jesus some questions. And of course, you know, they were good at questioning Jesus. And they said Jesus asked a question of them on this particular occasion. And he said, what do you think of the Christ, or Christ. Whose son is he? And the Pharisees, you see, they respond with, he is the son of David. Well, Jesus then said to them in response to them, if David calls him Lord, by the way, he's quoting Psalm 110 and verse 1, Jesus is, if David calls him Lord, how is he his son? And the text tells us no one was able to answer him. They didn't have an answer to that question. Guess what? That was the last question I ever asked Jesus. Now, he asked him a question they were stumped about, couldn't give an answer to. And we can say it was embarrassment, or we can say it was they had their way with all that he had to say to them, or what he didn't have to say to them. But our Jesus, he is spectacular. And it would be a real shame we lose our focus on him. And it's not hard to do, especially in today's world. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. When John is writing to us, he records some really famous words. I know you're very, very familiar with them. I'm going to take just a few minutes and we'll be through to talk about what Jesus has to say to them. Because I think this is such a comforting, yet at the same time a extremely descriptive definition of who Jesus is. So he says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me. And in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Here's the interesting part, I think. He says, "And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." And good old Thomas, he spoke up and he says, "Well, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. We don't know where you're going. And since we don't know where you're going, how do we know the way?" And you know Jesus' great response. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto me, or unto the Father, but by me." I see this passage illustrating three great truths about Jesus, who is the Christ. I am the way. Without Jesus, there can be no going. Get that? There's no going without knowing Jesus, you see. Suffice it to say that Jesus never came to the earth, let me rephrase it. Had Jesus not ever come to the earth to be a Savior as He was, all mankind would be hopelessly doomed to eternal damnation. That is, without Jesus. "I am the way," he says. That's who I am. Without him, there is no hope of heaven. I think Elmo Mercer is the writer of the song that says, "Without him, I would be nothing. Without him, I'd be enslaved. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved." Oh, brothers and sisters, I know we live in such tumultuous, terrible times that are just frightening to us and worry us and concern us. But my message is crafted out of the idea to say to you that there is only one hope for all of the world, and that is for the world to know about Jesus. Because, you see, He is the way. And without any doubt in my own personal mind, it's a good way. I mean, it's a great way. There are a lot of characteristics about that way that I think are so important. When Jeremiah is writing to the brethren the folks in Israel, Jeremiah cries and he says, "Stand in the way. Stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Now we know that Jeremiah was pointing back to where they had come from in Israel. And you know, as you read the Old Testament and you study, I know you understand that they had their trouble staying faithful to God. And while that may seem like that's way over there, is that any different for us? I mean, staying faithful to God. I mean, don't we have our own struggles with that? In our own lives, with all of the things that we're faced with and the decisions that we are supposed to make or called on to make, you know, we struggle with so many different things. And yet He's calling them back. And you probably remember this marvelous passage of Scripture of Jesus' own words, where He says in Matthew 11, verses 28, 29, and 30, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor." What a lovely passage. "All ye who are heavy laden, burdened down, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. Learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For you see, My yoke is easy and My burden is light." You know, only Christians understand how easy it really is when you have Christ in your life to get things back on focus and on target. Because Jesus is where we need to have our thoughts. I believe with all of my heart that the happiest people on earth are those who travel the Jesus way and trust in Him. Can I get an amen? Are y'all awake? Okay, just looking. Just thinking. It's an open way. I think the Bible teaches that. In other words, anyone can follow regardless of your place in society, no matter what your color is, what your creeds have been, what your loyalties have been. Anyone can come and be with Jesus. You remember on that road down there to Gaza, where there was this Ethiopian eunuch who was traveling on. He'd been up to Jerusalem. You remember that story, don't you, over the book of Acts? I think it's chapter 8. And he's riding along. He's reading from the book of Isaiah. Now, the man's from Ethiopia. How many of you here have been to Ethiopia? No world travelers, okay? Well, let me tell you, I've been to Ethiopia, and the folks over there have one color, black. Now, the Bible doesn't say a black man was in the chariot or a black man was the treasurer. He's just a person. Here he is learning about, on the African continent, the message that came from Jerusalem and from the chosen people, if you will. And he's reading this prophet Isaiah, and he doesn't understand who the prophet's talking about. And so when Peter joins himself up to this chariot, he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "Well, how can I, except some man should guide me?" Well, guess what? The old Israelite boy was happy to... Who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself or some other man? And the Scriptures tell us that he begins at the same place. And who does he talk about? He talks about Jesus, doesn't he? He begins to tell him about Jesus, the Savior of the world. And as Marshall Keeble used to say, you can't talk about Jesus without getting wet. Because you've got to talk about the water. And it isn't long before the eunuch is saying, "Oh, by the way, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" You've got this open confession of the fact that it is Jesus, an open mind, willing to take it all in. And now you've got this obedience that comes from that. And it says in verse 39 that he goes on his way rejoicing. Now the man is at peace with God in a very open life of rejoicing. And the way is a simple way. I know that we sometimes make everything very complex when we're studying the Scripture and we want to get into the, we want to get into study of the language, even though none of us know really anything about it because we don't speak it. But we like to dig in and get in get a lot of things of information to help us make our decision. But really, it's very simple, isn't it? Especially in our complex world, when we're talking about NASA and space flights and anything else. Those really are the easy things, it seems like, anymore today. The things that are the most difficult have to do with relationships with people, isn't it? That seems to always be it. Jesus says, go into all the world and do something real simple. Just preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach it to every creature. Go to every nation, says one passage. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Every creature is taught. That's the simplicity of it. And that certainly implies that everybody can understand it, doesn't it? So everybody is to be taught so that they can hear it, believe it, and obey it. He gave men a gospel only if God gave men a gospel only a few could understand, our salvation would be dependent upon our willingness and not our understanding. And then it's a holy way. Isaiah says in chapter 35 and verse 8, and a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness, says the prophet. The unclean shall not pass over it, and it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No man ever accidentally, you see, becomes a Christian. It's by faith and by obedience. Believing and responding. We call it conversion. Verily I say unto you, except you be converted. This is Matthew 18 and verse 31. And become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, the gospel is great power to bring it about. Romans 1, 16 and 17. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, says Paul. No, I'm not ashamed, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For you see, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. I am the way, a good way, an open way, a simple way. I am the truth. Without Him there can be no knowing. Jesus is the one that brings that to us. Man would be totally without knowledge of salvation. Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. Jesus is the supreme truth. You shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. The writer of John 8 and verse 32. In John 17 and 7, Jesus is praying and he says, sanctify them, Father, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He is the embodiment, if you will, or the personification of the divine truth. He's the expressed image of God. Read Hebrews 1 verses 1 through 3. That's where it says, He is the expressed image of God. And since He is truth, He has the final word. As David read to us this morning from Matthew 28, all authority hath been given unto Him in heaven and on earth. All other claims have to be rejected. And Paul is writing to the brethren at Galatia, he says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which I have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So we have this truth of God. Jude 3 says that we are to earnestly contend for that truth or that faith that is once delivered to the saints. And Jesus says, I am the life, and without him there can be no living. No one really begins to live until Jesus comes into your life. Well, Jesus says that he's the only source of real spiritual life, a spiritual life with God. Paul, writing in Colossians 2 and verse 10, he says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He says it another way in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. That's what we call free moral agency. He chooses. You can choose to follow Christ because Christ is the way. Every man may go. He is the truth. Every man may know him. Christ is the life. Every man may live that life. But it still comes down to a choice. I hope Jesus is truly your way. I hope Jesus is truly your truth. I hope he really truly is the part of your life so that we influence other. For the man that we know is the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. Not just because we've been taught something, but because he is something. We always want to offer an invitation to any of you that might not have, or may have something on your heart today, or want to get to know Jesus Christ. We always offer that to you. We're going to invite you to stand and sing with us as we're led in our invitational song. Why don't you come?